Lord. It's such an encouragement to see so many encounters. So much of the Holy Spirit being poured out on his children. And I think the key word there is intentional. Intentional. When we're intentional about seeking the Lord, he is intentional about putting our agenda first and about showing up. That is our God. Our God is faithful. Amen. And this fasting is called the coming glory. And it's based on Romans 8:18 and 2 Corinthians, that entire chapter 3 from 7 to 18. And so we've been focusing on this coming glory. And I've heard it here tonight. So many of you have the expectation of the coming glory, of something that's coming that's greater. It's with expectation. And I would even say it's with great expectation. People here are saying that God is going to move. God's going to do something. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Amen. And who knows that when you wait upon the Lord and you're of good courage, the Lord shows up. He says, wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait. Amen. And the glory is coming. You know, as believers, we're no strangers to suffering. We are not strangers to suffering. Yet God's word offers hope, hope, and a glorious promise of the glory coming, amen, of the upcoming glory. And God wants us to shift our perspective from our current state to an eternal one and to even an expectancy of the future and what's coming next. But our eyes must be shift. Shift. We need a shift, and we need a desperate shift, because who knows that if there isn't desperation in your spirit, you're more than likely not to do anything. It took something in you greater than your comfort to say, hey, I'm going to be intentional this week. Gabby says, I'm going to be intentional with worship. Pauline says, I'm going to be intentional about having the presence of the Lord and maintaining the presence. M said she's going to be intentional about being in constant communication with the Lord. Michael said he's going to be intentional about praying. Some of you have been saying, I'm going to be intentional about reading. I'm going to make this fast worth it more than any other fast. Amen. And so when you are intentional, there is this glory that God is going to reveal. Amen. Paul writes about a glory that will be revealed in us. In us. A coming glory that outweighs the present suffering. But not only does it outweigh the present suffering, but it also transforms our life now. Now. The glory is for now. Now. We don't have to wait for the glory. The glory can happen now. And when I say now, it's not right now I pray and the glory is going to come, but within proximity. To now, to the present, not this extended long wait of years and years and years. Now, one of our key scripture is taken from Romans 8:18. And it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Now, the Greek word for glory is doxa, which means splendor, radiance, honor, a manifestation of God's divine attribute. Now, in biblical context, this refers to the visible and tangible manifestation of God's presence, power, and perfection. A manifestation, a visible a visible representation of God. Amen? Now, so here in Romans chapter 8, Paul was writing to the church, who were both made up of both Jews and Gentiles, right? They were believers living among the Romans. And Paul, the context of it was to live in the freedom of the Spirit. He was telling people, live in the Spirit. Live free from condemnation. The tension between this, he was trying to explain the tension between the present suffering and the future hope. Who's like that? You know, I read somewhere before that the problem is the tension of Christian tension is of the here and waiting for the eternal. That's where our tension resides. Because we're here now experiencing all what it is we're experiencing, yet we are taught about this glorious hope that awaits for us. So there's a tension in our spirit. And even though in the previous verses, it spoke about even creation mourns and moans for the coming of the Lord, for when the sons of God will arise. All right, so he was telling the people them that, listen, there is this condemnation. Don't live in the condemnation of the present. Who knows that suffering condemns us? A lot of times we think that people condemns us, but who knows that when you're going through financial hardship, you're questioning God, God, where are you? God, where are you? I'm sowing. I'm giving what I don't even have. I'm giving sacrificially. But where are you? And so that type of suffering condemns you to say, hey, am I truly a child of God? Why is it I'm living the way I'm living? Or maybe sickness is pleading, taking over your body. And you're saying, God, where are you in this? I'm not sinning. I'm not going out doing my own thing. I'm singing for you, I'm praising you, I'm worshiping you, yet here I am suffering. And so that can become a condemnation to us. But Paul here was saying, don't let these things condemn you. Don't let any suffering of the present condemn you. How many of us can look at our situation, even the things that easily besets us, and it condemns us that sometimes we can't even face the presence of the Lord? Sometimes we can't even go and pray and utter a word. It's like your mind can't say a word because you are so and it's not nobody, it's you yourself. And that's a type of suffering. It's suffering, but Paul is saying we don't have to live in that suffering. Now, Paul was not ignorant to sufferings. He very much understood what it means to suffer in this life. Amen? He experienced more than what most of us will ever experience. And probably he experienced more than what all of us put together would experience in this life. He experienced a man that is totally sold out. Didn't even get married by choice because he wanted to preach the word of God. He wanted to have a conversion of the world. He wanted to go to the unknown parts, to the Gentiles, to places that didn't even speak his own language. He wanted to go and preach the gospel, but yet he faced so much. He endured so many things. He endured beatings, imprisonments, shipwreck, betrayal. People left him. Godly people left him. Yet he still considered that the future glory outweighed the present sufferings. Too many times our eyes are fixated on now. You know, there's a thing I always say, I want it and I want it all. I heard that message when we went to Dominion Camp and that guy, I forgot his name, but he was preaching it. I want it and I want it all. And that has been my mantra, so to speak, that I want it and I want it all. But who knows that sometimes you don't get it all. Yeah. And you need to be patient. And you need to sometimes cry a little. And you sometimes need to even bleed a little in order to get where it is God wants you to be. Amen. Now, Paul was saying that the glory which shall be revealed in us, this is a future glory. And he's saying that when we consider the Christian life, when we consider all the tragedies and even foolish choices, that we have to look at it in light of eternity. We have to look at it in light of what Christ is doing in us and what it is we are heading to. Amen? The coming glory will not just be revealed to us, but it will be actually revealed in us. In us. Paul was intentional to say the glory will be revealed in us. What does that mean, that the glory will be revealed in us? Well, it's not saying that you're going to see it. God's going to make you a spectacle of his glory. God's going to make you a showpiece of his glory, that there will be such a work within you that others will actually see it. It will become tangible to the eyes. It will become tangible to the eyes. And this is what we're fasting for, that the glory is revealed in me, that I experience the tangible presence of the Lord. That should I open the word, I'm going straight to where God wants me to go. Or should I start to do something, someone else is confirming exactly what it is I'm doing. Or should I be caught up in a situation where there's live fires, I will remain at peace because the glory is in me. And then someone else now is going to see that there is a glory in me, because wait a second, I'm praying for that thing. How is it you can just reveal what was in my heart between me and God? There must be something that is in you. This is the glory being revealed in me. In me, in my life. How is it I'm speaking accurately in line? I didn't tell you what it is I'm going through, or you didn't tell me what you're going through, but suddenly the words of life and the words of knowledge and the words of wisdom is flowing. Or what about me having dreams and then coming to you and say, hey, I saw X, Y, and Z, and then you go down on your knees and say, bless God, for God has shown you the truth today. That is the glory being revealed in us. In us. And the way we get that glory, we got to contend. You see, Paul says that we have to train as a soldier. It doesn't come easy. Nothing good comes easy. There has to be a cutting away of the flesh. I'm hungry for natural food, but no. I need spiritual food. I want to do things my way, but no, I have to submit to the glory and the power and the will and the ways of God. I want to go talk to my friends, but no, I got to close my closet door and I got to pray. I want to speak in English, talking to God with my head knowledge, but no, I got to step into tongues. I want to come out of tongues, but no, I got to remain because the Spirit needs to pray through me, because there are some things that need to break in my life that only the Spirit of God can break, because the Spirit search all things, and there's some things in me that need searching out, so my head knowledge prayer won't work anymore. I have to pray in the Spirit. This is the glory being revealed in you now. Now, so that the greater glory will be revealed so that everyone can see. But it takes you being intentional. It takes you seeking out the Lord. It takes you cutting away at the flesh, it takes sacrifice. Sacrifice. It doesn't just happen. It takes sleepless nights. Like some of us, we don't need to be going to bed our usual time. We need to be getting up during this fast and pray, because God is calling you to some unusual thing, some unusual glory. But in order to tap into that glory, and in order for that glory to be poured out on you, God has to see that you're desperate for that, and you can be trusted with that, and that you can come after me, and that indeed you, that your flesh is not to be satisfied. Because listen, sleep is satisfying the flesh, but I need God more than I need sleep. The glory needs to be revealed in us and through us and in us. But it takes us having a realization that it's more than just not eating your food. It's more than not saying two words of prayer. Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for this day of fasting. And then you went on and eat your food. It's more than reading the word of the day. It's more than reading the word of the, oh, I read and I prayed and that's it. I fasted. Fasting like that will not reveal any glory. It will not reveal any glory. When we are not focused on our sufferings, when we're not focused on our temptations, when we're not focused on what you want, and you turn your face onto the Lord and say, God, have your way in me. God, search me. Then God is able to trust you. Trust you to carry his weightiness. His weightiness. Now, one thing's for sure. Our pain is real. It's real. What we go through, it's real. But we have to have the understanding that it's not final. It's not final. The glory that is coming is greater in value, in duration, and in effect than anything that you're going through right now. So it will be the best thing for you to sacrifice to, so that the glory can be revealed in you. We glorify God, not the suffering. Amen. 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 It's not that the suffering is light. It's not that it's light. But rather that the glory is far heavier. This is why we don't focus on the suffering. We focus on what is to come after this. You know, pastor always say that, don't look at me now, watch me later. Don't watch me now, watch me later. Watch me after this. So there are some characteristics about the present suffering. Paul says that the present suffering, it's temporary. But the coming glory, it's eternal. In 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to go down to that, 17 to 18, it says that our light affliction, consider everything that you're going through. No matter how hard it is or how difficult it is, the Bible says it's a light affliction. And Paul is saying our light affliction is but for a moment and is working for us afar. Somebody say afar. Far. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of of glory. Our trials won't last forever, but the results will. Who knows? Who knows of some things that you have gone through that you say, mighty God, I didn't know I had it in me. Amen. You know there's already glory revealed in you? Yes. You have gone through some things, and you have come out with a greater weight of glory. Think about it. Think about that thing that you thought that would take you out. But here you are today. And say, mighty God. Mighty God. I didn't know I had that strength. I didn't know that I could have persevered. I didn't think I would have come through. That addiction, I thought it would have taken me out. That heartbreak, I thought it would have taken me out. Them leaving me, I thought it would have taken me out. But here I am today. Here I am today. Your suffering is temporary, but the glory, it's eternal. Now, the present suffering, Paul says it's painful. It's painful. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we love to brush over people's pain, and I hate that. I absolutely hate that we brush over people's pain. Now, we don't need to focus on the pain and elevate it and make it the God. No, we don't do that. But we also don't brush over that people's situation can be painful. And that it can hurt. And that it sometimes make you bitter. And that sometimes it can do all manner of things to you that you never thought you would become. Paul is saying the suffering, it's painful. But the coming glory, it's transformative. Transformative. Suffering hurts, but in Christ, it's never wasted. Suffering hurts, but in Christ, it is never wasted. Romans 5:3-5 teaches us that suffering produces what? Perseverance, character, and hope. And hope. Who can testify to that today? That some of your suffering, and if not all of your suffering, produce some type of perseverance in you, some type of character, and give you a hope that whatever is ahead of you, God is going to be able to take care of it, and you're not without help today. You see, in the hands of God, pain becomes a tool for shaping us. For shaping us. Amen? Now, the present suffering, it's visible and tangible. You feel it. It's there. And people see that. People see it. But the glory, the coming glory, it's often unseen, but will fully be revealed later. This is why sometimes we don't contend for it. Because it's not seen. Our suffering is, and we feel it. Right? That's that suffering of hunger pangs. Hunger can become so real that you can't take it anymore, you just give up. But you have to have it in you of, you know, like Sister Nikki was facing a real challenge that she was having these gas issues and acid and all of these things that's acting up in her, causing stomach problems. But what? She understood that the coming glory, although is unseen, it will be fully revealed. Amen? We see the effects of suffering. We see illness. We see betrayal. We see hardship. But that coming glory, it's often hidden. And only through spiritual eyes, only through spiritual eyes can we see and understand that there is a glory that is coming. Amen? Amen. Now, you see, Paul here does not want us to ignore the suffering, but he wants to put it in perspective. God doesn't erase pains, but he reframes it. He reframes it within the eternal purpose of God. Amen. And just, you know, I realized something in this. That do you realize that you have two divine intercessors? Not one, but two divine intercessors. You're not alone in this. You're not bringing the glory. It is not of your own doing. It's not you by yourself, but you have two divine intercessors who is leading you into this coming glory. First, you have the Lord Jesus himself. The Bible says that he is making intercession. He is in heaven making intercession for you and I. And then you have the Holy Spirit on earth. You have Jesus in heaven, and you have the Holy Spirit on earth interceding for you. You have the Spirit of God living in you. That sometimes when you don't know how to pray, who knows that sometimes we want to pray for the solution in a kind of a way. Like you know, we always say strategic prayers. So I bind up, let's say, you know, we'll take anger. I bind up anger. I bind up anger. Anger will not be a part of me anymore. But who knows that there may be something that's deep and rooted in there that only the Holy Spirit knows, because the Bible says that the Spirit searches the man and knows everything about the man and knows the heart of God. So not only does the Spirit knows you, he knows the heart of God. So that when you pray in the Spirit, it's straight line praying. It's bullseye prayers. It's not beating around the bush. It's not what you think with your limited understanding and limited information. Who knows that sometimes you're limited to know what is going on exactly in you? How sometimes you feel sad and you don't know why you're feeling sad. That everything is going right, but yet I'm feeling this unsettledness. Everything, everyone's laughing around you. You're having, but there's this unsettledness. We don't understand what is going on in us, but the Spirit does. And so when we pray in the Holy Spirit, amen, the Spirit makes intercession for us with moanings that cannot be understood. So we have two divine intercessors that is bringing this glory onto us. But guess what? We need to tap in. Tell someone, tap in. Tap in. Amen. We need to tap in. It just does not happen. Amen. And now, I know that you know all of these things, but sometimes you need a reminder to say, hey, tap in. Tap in. Tap in. We know that prayer is important. We know that setting aside time is important. But guess what? Sometimes you need to hear it one more time. One more time. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 to 18. All right. It says, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So he's saying here that this glory that came, remember Moses was before the mountain and he met with God and the glory came upon him and it was so glorious, but guess what? This glory was passing away. It was when he came out of the presence of the Lord, it was diminishing and diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. But it's saying that how now, if this glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious when the Spirit is with us all the time? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect. So Moses, who was made glorious, has no glory in this, when in comparison to what we have now, the glory of the Spirit, because of the glory that excel. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Amen. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great speech of boldness. Unlike Moses, who put a veil veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is only taken away in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what that means? When you turn to God and turn to Christ, that veil that keeps you away from the glory of God gets rented, so that now you have access to the glory of Almighty God. That means that now the glory can be revealed in you. That means that now you can experience the glories of God's tangible manifestations. Who knows that we can preach the word without manifestation? We can live a Christian life without manifestation, because there's no glory. But we need glory. We need glory. We need the manifestation of God in our life, and not just the word, the letter of the word. The letter of the word does nothing for us. Even as great as it is, even as it's the word of God unto us, even as it's God himself unto us, we need the rhema, the living word. Amen? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, and this is the verse, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Hallelujah! 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 We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. For once upon a time, there was a man who was named Adam, who God gave him all the glory of the world. But because of sin, my God, God's glory became veiled, and we were forever marred, that no longer the image of God was stamped upon creation. But the God-man came and gave us, hallelujah, gave his life for us, so that the image of God can be stamped on man again. No longer a marred creation. Sin marred us and removed the image of God from us. And my God, one day we have to go into the teachings of what it means to be an image bearer of God. Of God. I love the Pentecostal churches because it's a live church. But the Pentecostal church lacks doctrine and teaching. Not all, but a lot. A lot. But we now have the image of God, that we can go from glory to glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I was saying there is that when you behold, like when you go into a mirror and you look at yourself, you see that you have eyes, eyes, nose, mouth, ears. You see it all. What that means is that when you look at the word, you see that you are a child of God, endowed with power from above, that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And though that weeping may endure for the night, rejoicing comes in the morning. And though whatever it looks like, I am a lender and not a borrower. And to understand that I am blood-bought child of God, redeemed, beautiful, hallelujah, a royal priesthood, my God, the righteousness of God created in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There isn't a troop that can stop me because I have the strength that I can leap through troops. This is the glory that we behold. It's no longer veiled. It's no longer hidden. You can read the word of God and let what the truths of God manifest in your life and becomes a reality that someone else can say that this is a woman of God and this is a man of God, that you can say to the sick, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I not, but that what I have, I give unto thee. This is the glory. This is the glory. This is the glory that we contend for. That when you look at your mirror, you can see that I have power. Amen. And like when you look in the mirror and you see that you have eyes and know that it's on you, you will see for sure that power is on you. When you see that you don't just have healing, but you can walk in divine health, suddenly you see all over yourself health. Prosperity, longevity. No longer the tail, but now the head. My God, could that glory be revealed in me? Yes, yes, this is the word. This is the word of God. God says he has put his name above his word. Amen. Which means that, you see, God couldn't swear. We swear by something. When somebody say tell you to swear by your mom. Because essentially they're saying your mom is greater than you. And then say, swear by God. And say, all right, I don't swear by God, but fine. I swear by God that I am never a blah, blah, blah. Or that I will do blah, blah, blah. But God could not swear above anything but his name. His name is the greatest. There isn't anything higher. So he had to swear by his name. And he put his name above his word. And he's swearing to you and says that every word will come to pass. And that settles it, because I, God, am swearing by my name. On. So he's swearing to say that when you behold, that all of this glory can be revealed in you and I. In you and I. In you and I. Amen. Not just the person next to you. Not just the older person. But in you and I. In you and I. In this chapter here, Paul was comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. And he was saying that, you know, Moses in that covenant brought condemnation and that it was fading away. But this new covenant, which is in Christ, is based on righteousness. It brings righteousness instead of condemnation, and that it has a far more exceeding and lasting glory. Amen. 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 The veil is removed, and we have direct access today. We are being transformed into his image from glory to glory. And this should give you great hope tonight. Great hope that when you go back to your homes and you're fasting, you're saying, Lord, Let all these things be revealed in me. This greater glory, this greater, wouldn't you want to walk in the greater glory that God has for you? Not just this simply, I am blessed. When I wake up, I am blessed. When I lay down, I am blessed. When I turn to my left, I am blessed. And not this feeling that we conjure up, but that you're truly walking in that glory. That somebody would ask you to pray, and right away, your prayer avails much, because the glory reveals in me says, the prayer of the righteous avails much. You look like that now. You look like that now. Tonight, I don't think that it's by accident the Lord gave Pastor Sam this focus for this fast, and especially for the season that we're in right now. You know, Sister T, I'm going to use her again. Glory was revealed in her. Glory was revealed in her. But it took her giving up some sleep. She said something that the Lord wake her up to pray. And what if she didn't pray? And that was for her own son. That was for her own son. And how did God save so gloriously? So gloriously. In the video is like this, capturing the man. The man pulls out the gun and just... If it wasn't the glorious power of God revealed in Sister T so that she could pray. We need glory. We need glory. We need more than just talk, talk, talk. Talk a good talk. Who cares about a good talk? You know, I know how you are at the end of the day. You tell me all great things you want to tell me. I know. I know you. And same thing, I can talk a good talk, but you know me. We can't fool nobody. And definitely can't fool God. I'm telling you, we can't fool nobody here. You can talk a nice talk all you want, but people will find you out and be like, She talk real nice. He talk real nice. But when there's true glory in us, it's revealed and people know that when she does open her mouth, or when he does open her mouth, and this is not an age thing. You know how old was Joseph? 17. Those disciples? 15, 16, 17, 18. Only Peter was about 30. Everyone else was young. This isn't the age thing. It's what are you contending for? What are you contending for? We always gotta, you know, I don't know how I always come back to this thing of looking at ourselves. Like, that's my favorite thing. Look at yourself. Don't be concerned about the next person. You lose out on so much when your eyes are on your neighbors. We lose out on so much. Focus on you tonight. And say, God, let that glory be revealed in me. Let when I touch someone, they are healed. Right away, God. Listen, don't be afraid to behold this and see it in you. Don't be afraid to say that you shall see this, pray for the sick and see them recover. Don't be afraid to behold that. That's glory for you. That's glory for you. We contend for the things that God wants us to contend for. We're not contentious.
No.
But we contend for what's in there. So that this glory can be revealed in us. So that God can wake you up when there's about to be a disaster that will hit your city and say, pray, 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 bind up, bind up, bind up. For the enemy wants to let go of flood, but you are going to intercede. And guess what? No one will know that it's you who prevented it, but heaven knows. Heaven knows that you obeyed. That's the type of glory we want to be revealed in us. Such glory that something's about to happen in your family and God says, no, 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 you're going to stop it. You're going to stop it. Some issues and suddenly you have the right words. That there is no conflict. There's no conflict because you have intercepted, because there were glorious wisdom upon your life. These are the glories that will be revealed in us when we're intentional and when we seek God out for real, for real. Somebody say, for real, for real.
For real, for real.
That's how it has to be, for real, for real. We can't play this thing anymore, brethren. I don't know if you know, but I think you know that we're in the last days.
Yeah,
and in the last days, the enemy will try to wipe out more people because there's a last revival that will come in. But the enemy don't want them to be a part of that last revival. So that's why he will cause more things to happen. So this glory needs to be revealed in us so that we can be blockage to what the enemy is doing. So that we can intercept. Intercept. Who knows that by prayer you can go into the enemy's camp and dismantle what it is they were doing? Was it Elijah that when the kings, they were having their plans, God showed him and he didn't even step foot into their camp. He was miles and miles away in his own country, but God revealed. That's the glory that God wants to reveal in us today. That we thwart up the plan of the enemy. And that we bless people's life. And bring people into the riches and prosperity and good life of Jesus Christ. Because who knows that not only that God wants for you to intercept the plans of the enemy. God wants to bring through you prosperity upon the earth. Healing upon the earth. Good life. Abundant life upon the earth. This is the glory. I believe. Amen. That this fast will reveal in us. Let us stand. Hallelujah. 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 Father, let your glory be revealed in us. This coming glory, let it not pass us tonight. Let it not pass us tonight. Let it not pass us tonight. But Jesus, we submit unto you. And we said, let this glory, let this glory be present in my life. Say it, ask the Lord. Let him reveal this glory in you. Hallelujah. That you can be a mouthpiece of God. Hallelujah. You can be an oracle, a divine oracle, that people will be amazed that who is this deliverer? Who is he that has entered into my camp and brought deliverance to me? Who is he that has brought blessing to me? Who is this? We thank you, oh God. We thank you that this week and this fast shall not be barren, but my God, the glory will be revealed in us in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you.
My God, I see glory carriers right in here. Shando raba sekerebe sakaraba. Yando rebebe. Yanda rababa. I see some people. Yando rebebe. Yando rababa. Yekeraba sokorababa. Who will behold the glory of the Lord? Mate ketaka. Yekeraba sokorebebe. Yando rababa. Yekerebe sokorababa. Yando rababa. Yekeraba sokorababa. Jesus, we thank you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, let it fall on everyone. Let it fall on everyone. Let it fall on everyone, because, Lord, that is your will, for all of us to be glory carriers. We thank you. And we praise you that mighty God, with earnest expectation, we will see this come to pass. Ye karaba sokorebe, yendo rababa, with earnest expectation. Yakatoko, ye karababa, with earnest expectation. My God, use even the least among us. Ye karaba soko, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.